So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
And there's nothing quite like experience. Amen. We've been in the series called Detox. We've been dealing with the last few weeks. We talked about the first week about just the general detox. And then last Sunday, I preached on three valleys that we need to escape. Escaping toxic valleys. And I gave you three valleys that we were to escape last week. And we talked about the valley of distraction. We talked about how that distractions, if you get caught in distraction, that you never achieve your purpose in God. And remember, the distraction is the root word distract, which means that they get you off track. So if the devil can get you off track then and keep you there, you're going to stay secluded. You're going to stay not where God wants you to be. He's going to keep you there. Now, let me say to you that one of the things that our church's mission, what we feel like our mission is we want to be a church where you can find focus for living. Because we believe that the only reason why people fail is because of broken focus. That if you stay focused, even if you fail, you just realize another way to do it or another way that it doesn't work. Come on, somebody. But if you will stay focused, you learn from every mistake, you learn and you move forward in what God wants you to have and what God wants you to do. So if you fall into this valley of distraction, you stay stuck, off track, and never getting to the place that God wants you to be. Because stop looking around and start looking ahead. Begin to declare that I'm not going to be here all of my life. I'm not going to stay here. You know, the devil has gotten some of you believing that where you are right now is where you will always be. But the devil is a liar because God's got greater things for you. However, now let me talk to Pentecostals, because Pentecostals are the world's worst. At what? Give me a chance. See, I am Pentecostal, so I can talk about us. But the Pentecostals are the world's worst that think all we got to do is pray. And throw some tongues at it if you're a tongue talker. You know, listen, when your kids need discipline, they don't need you speaking in tongues. They do not have the interpretation. When you are on the job, they don't need you talking in tongues. They need you doing your job. All right? When you need a job, you don't just speak in tongues. You speak in tongues and hit the bricks. And then when you get in the interview, quit speaking in tongues. Because they ain't going to hire you. They're going to call the white coats to come lock you up. All right? So distraction. The other valley is the valley of doubt and discouragement. Doubt is a terrible thing to get caught in because doubt always leads to discouragement. And if we are not careful, we get caught in this toxic valley of doubt and discouragement. And when we begin to doubt everything, even God, and you begin to doubt your destiny in Him, then the devil's got you hooked. When you begin to believe that where I am in life is where my life is supposed to be, and it's not a good place, that's when the devil has you, because you think, I deserve where I am. And can I tell some of us do deserve where we are, but thank God for grace, because He pulls us out of what we deserve. Hallelujah to God. You see, if it's not part of the solution, it's pollution. Believe what God said about you and step out in faith. And then the third valley we talked about was the valley of heaviness and depression. And I've seen people get caught in this valley and live their whole life and go to heaven, but live their whole life in depression. Live their whole lives in heaviness. That what a horrible way to live. When you didn't have to live that way. You know, some people go, well, I'm just trying to make heaven my home. And I am too. But God didn't say you had to live through hell to get there. No, no, baby. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly right here on this earth. Come on, somebody. That you've got to recognize that I don't have to live a dilapidated lifestyle, that I can be who God called me to be. I can have a great time, because if you're not enjoying your salvation, then you are doing it wrong. You've got to recognize that, bless God, I am saved by grace. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. If He lives on the inside of me, then I should have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Well, but preacher, you don't know what's going on in my life. You're right, I don't. But can I tell you, it doesn't change the fact of who God is. God said, I am that I am. And nothing you go through or nothing you are going in will ever change the fact that He's still a good God. Whether you believe it or not, He's a good God. He's a good, good Father. And He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you by yourself. He said, I'm right there with you. Whatever mess you might be in, my God, whatever valley you might find yourself in, I'll be right there with you. If you'll just take hold of my hand, I will walk you out of that valley. I'll lead you out of that valley. However, it means that we've got to do something, because we love just blank putting it all on God. Well, God's big enough. Yes, He is. But most of our trouble has to do with the person you look at in the mirror. It has to do with you. Wrong beliefs, wrong behaviors, wrong attitudes, or we could say toxic behavior, toxic attitude, and toxic thoughts. And that's what we're trying to get over through this series. You see, it's easy to become paralyzed in this toxic valley of heaviness and depression. None of us are immune, no matter how holy you think you are. It's time to keep moving and magnifying. Remember what the song said, I'm not going back, I'm moving ahead. Now, our series text is Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. One translation says, create in me a detoxed heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And then Psalms 23:4, where we take this text from, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That I am told that back then they would have a little hook on the end of that staff. One end is to keep you in line. The other end is to keep the wolves and the predators away. So I've come by to tell you that God knows how to pull you in. He knows how to beat the wolves off of you. But you've got to recognize that He is your shepherd. And you might have to walk through some valleys. But the key word there is, I'm going to walk through. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to set up residence. I'm not going to build a house. I'm not even going to camp out there. I'm going to walk through it, because on the other side of that valley is my victory. Can you say amen? But wouldn't it be so great? Wouldn't it be so great if life was just a straight line? But it's not. Wouldn't it be great that once you got on top, you stayed on top? Come on, somebody. Man, that would be so cool. Woo, I climbed my way out of that pit and now I'll never go back. Well, the problem is, just right around the corner, there's another pit. There's another pit. You see, because life is full of peaks and valleys, good times and bad times, sometimes up, sometimes down. But the challenge is not to get caught in these toxic valleys and stay there longer than you're supposed to. The trick is not to get caught in a toxic valley and stay there when you're supposed to walk through there. That too many people, when you get through, you know, I never dreamed. Have you ever watched these shows? I love survival shows. But have you ever watched these shows where the people, maybe they're out in the snow or something and they just can't move on and they just give up. And they just fall. Well, that happened to me a few years ago. It happened to me out in Utah, as a matter of fact. I believe that Blake was with us then. We were going down this big Blake Scheidler over here. We were going down this. We had to dig somebody out of a hole. They were 30 foot down in a ravine. You remember that, Blake? They were way down in there. Man, it took forever.
And I was 30, 40 pounds heavier than I am now then. And we had to walk up this ravine and down this ravine. And I don't know, Blake is 6'5 or 6'6, something like that. He's got legs as long as I am tall. But the snow was coming up to his legs. So me and my Oompa Loompa legs, the snow was about right here. And I was just trying. And you're in one of those suits that you can't hardly move. And I'm trying to walk. And the guys were behind me. And finally, I just had to sit down. I go, guys, I'm sorry. I can't go any further. Listen, you may feel like you're that person right now, that I just can't go any further. Well, get your breath, but don't stay there, because if you stay there, you'll die there. Not only if you stay there, you'll die there, but the other people who are following you will stay there also. You've got to recognize, if nothing else for my family, I got to come out of this. I might have to catch my breath, but I got to come out of this, because my children ain't going to die in this wilderness. My children ain't going to die in this valley. I'm going to show them how to go through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The challenge is, you can't get caught in there when you're supposed to walk through it. Hallelujah. See, listen, your destiny is too great for you to live in toxic valleys. So I gave you the three we talked about already. But let me give you another one. Here we go. Nothing will detoxify your life like praise. All right? But no, you're right. You're right, Mike. I'm right there. Number four is this. Sometimes we go through a valley of dryness. A valley of dryness. Well, bless God, what they need is they just need to read their Bible. They just know. Hey, sometimes I read my Bible and still go through dryness. What they need is a good Holy Ghost service. Yes, you need that, but I still go through dryness sometimes. But again, the thing is you don't have to stay there. I remember in my early Christian walk with Jesus, I went through a whole year where I could say, now because I'm Pentecostal, I could say that I didn't feel the Lord. How many know what I'm talking about? You didn't feel the doodads running up and down your spine. You didn't feel the little Church of God chicken or the little Holy Ghost fit, you get every once in a while. The little, whoo, you didn't get that. And I went for a whole year without feeling that. And I didn't understand why. I would pray. And matter of fact, I was the associate pastor at a church. I was singing the gospel. I was leading people in worship. I would preach and wouldn't feel the anointing. I would preach and people would get saved. I would pray for people. They'd fall out. I didn't feel nothing. I started laying hands on myself. Somebody fall out. I go, shoot, let me see if it works on me. And nothing. I felt nothing. And I went for a whole year. But at the end of that year, here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, let me tell you, Ronnie. He said, I've allowed you to walk through this time of dryness. He said, but you kept moving. You kept walking even when you couldn't feel me. Because let me tell you something. Whatever you call yourself, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, heathen, I don't care. Here's what I want you to recognize. That you've got to have the Word of God as your foundation. You've got to have the Word of God as your pure, true north. Because if you don't, the feeling may fade, the feeling may die, the feeling may be dry, but the Word of God is true. I had to walk through it a week, and the Lord said, Ronnie, because you were faithful through this year, you'll never go another day in your life without feeling my presence unless it's on you. I can tell you that every time I worship him now, every time I praise him now, I feel him. But you got to learn to worship. You got to learn to praise. You got to learn to pray. You got to learn to do what you know to do, even if I don't feel you, God, because I know that you're too good to leave me forever. I know that you're too mighty to leave me where you found me, and I'm believing for a moisture to come of the Holy Spirit to dry or to drive out my dryness. Can you say amen? The valley of dryness. In the valley of dryness, you just exist. Just going through the motions. Nobody's ever done that. I just come to church, take my notes, go home. I don't feel the presence. I don't, everybody else is jumping and saying amen. I don't feel any of those things. I'm just dry. It's a place where you're not satisfied. Life is dry, chapped, lacks freshness and potential. And it's easy to live a dry life. It's easy to have a dry marriage. It's easy to have a dry relationship, a dry career, and to have a dry state of relationship with God. It is a toxic thing to have a dry relationship with God, but it is easy to get there. One of the most incredible examples of dryness is found in Ezekiel chapter 37, when he said, "In the hand of the Lord," verses 1 through 2, "and the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry." They wasn't just dry, they were very dry, because it was a valley full of dry bones. People had died there. People had rotted there. People had, all of the moisture had went out of their bones. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm talking to somebody that the moisture and the goodness of the Lord seems to have dried out of your bones. But can I tell you, the Bible says that the bones were dry because the valley was dry, and you might be dry because the valley is dry. Have you ever had a dry season where you were dry right down to the spiritual bone? The Bible says that the bones were not just dry, but they were very dry. Every life has ever given you a dryness. Now here, listen, very dry means meo de very, yabesh, which means dried up exceedingly, dried completely up. Anybody ever lived there? And if you stay there in that valley of dryness too long, you will completely dry up. You don't function in the valley of dryness. You don't dream in the valley of dryness. You begin to think that tomorrow will be the same as yesterday. Your yesterday begins to be your tomorrow. And you begin to just go through the motions, and it's just dry, and you lose hope. In dryness, your joy is gone. In dryness, your hope is evaporated. In a toxic valley, you feel trapped, and you begin to think, "I used to live. I used to have joy. I used to be refreshed. I used to have this. What has happened to me?" But in those days, can I tell you that you are behind, that those days you need to declare are behind me, because I'm not going to stay in this valley of dry bones. Because if you're not careful, I want you to hear this point very, very clear. If you're not careful, you learn to live in the valley of dry bones. You learn to live. You learn to thrive. You learn to live dry and thirsty. You learn to live that way. How many knows that you can learn to live that way? Well, this is just life. Your marriage bad. Well, this is just life. I've talked to my friends, and everybody's marriages is this way. And then, no, the devil is a liar. Well, my walk with God is just dry. You know, I remember when I first got saved, and I was so excited about God. But this is just life. Stuff has happened, and now I'm in. The devil is a liar. It is not that way. You might be walking through a valley of dryness right now, but I've come by to tell you, don't you get stuck there. You recognize that I'm walking through. But Pastor, I'm not making very much progress. I don't care if you have to just take a little bit at a time. You can keep walking. You keep marching, because God's going to bring you out of that valley. This is not the will of God, my God. This is not the will of God for you. This is not the will of God for your life. You have not been called to live in an exceedingly dry life. You have not been called to live a dilapidated lifestyle. You have not. You got to recognize that I need renewal. God, if you never touch me again, I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to praise you on faith. I'm going to praise you on credit, because your credit is good with me. I'll praise you now, and you can do it a little bit later. I'll thank you now, and I know you're going to do it. I don't know when. I don't know where, but I know that you are good. Your word is truth, and I might be in a valley, but I will not stay there. I will not die in this valley. I will walk. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let me tell you where renewal starts. Let me tell you where freshness starts. Not in your bank account. Not in the bedroom. Come on, somebody. It begins when you reconnect with God. God is the ultimate source of freshness and renewal. How do you know, preacher? Been there, done that, bought the t-shirt and sent postcards. Hallelujah. Wait a minute, you're the preacher. Exactly. Yeah. You would think that No. Because let me tell you, it gets hard. It gets hard every week, day in and day out, coming up with sermons. Come on, somebody. Well, the Holy Ghost, well, whatever. I still got to do my part. It'd be great if I just stood there and let the Lord just download it. That'd be great. But I got to do my part. It gets tiring. It gets tiring having to study all the time and look for something new and coming up with something, because y'all expect something when y'all come here, and you should. And so therefore, I got to stay fresh. But I know what it is. I know what it is to dry up on the vine still preaching on Sunday. I know what it is to dry up and go, God, I don't have anything left. I don't know what I'm going to give. People say, preach out of your overflow. Lord, there is no overflow. I'm just trying to survive here, God, and I don't know what else to do. But can I tell you this? You can go back to God, and you begin to praise Him, and you begin to glorify Him, and He is the ultimate refresher. He is the ultimate freshness. He is the ultimate renewal. And you begin to ask Him, Lord, I am not my own. I got to have a fresh touch from You today. And I promise you, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but you keep praying and He will renew. He will bring you freshness. Woo. So you may be in a toxic drive place today and you're wondering how to get out. Well, I've got the answer for you. In Ezekiel 37:4, here's what the Lord told Ezekiel to say to the dry bones. He said, say to the dry bones. Speak, open up your mouth and speak. Say to the dry bones. What do I say to them? Say this, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Not just a sermon. Hear the word of the Lord. Excuse me. I'm a little dry right now. Now this is so powerful. Because real quick, I want you to focus on the word hear. Verse 4, say to the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And hear from the original Hebrew text is shema. And shema means to hear and perceive. Now there's one thing to hear it. There's another thing to perceive with the intent of consenting, yielding, and becoming obedient to. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Not only do you hear the word of the Lord, you consent to it, you yield to it, you perceive it. Now the first key, here we go. The first key to reviving dead bones in dry valleys is to hear living words. What word are you listening to? Whose words are you listening to? Honey, if all you do is listen to the word of the enemy, you're going to stay dry. At some point in time, you got to hear living words. And in order to hear living words, you got to know where living words come from. You need to hear living words because, honey, all you got to do, you can dry up on the vine if you watch Fox News too much. You can backslide watching CNN too much. I mean, you got to hear the living words. You got to hear some words with life. Can I get a good amen? You need to surround yourself with someone who speaks living words. It's time to tune out the words of death. Time to tune out the words of dryness. Time to tune out the words of doubt and hear the words of life. Hear words of life about your children, about your future, about your marriage, about your health, about your finances, about your church. Ezekiel spoke living words over dead bones in a dry valley, and the bones heard it. Hey! My God. If your marriage is dead, start speaking living words. If your finances are dead, start speaking living words. Start speaking living things over your life, over your situation. Start talking living words. You see, do you hear what the Lord has to say about you? Well, you need to read some of the things. God said you're the head and not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. He said you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He said, you're blessed and highly favored. He said, you're healed by his stripes. He said that he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You need to hear his living words. Turn off the negative words that bring dryness and bring death and turn on the living words. Listen to me something. Everybody listen to me just a minute. There are some people when I'm in a dry place, I can't take. There's this button on your phone that says ignore. And sometimes, you know, y'all so spiritual. Pastor, is that why you don't answer my call? Maybe. Let's just be real. I can't take that today. Nope. Because they need me to hear. They need me to speak living words, not the words that I want to speak right now. Because if they get a hold of me while I'm dry, I'm gonna speak some death words over them. Hallelujah. Pastor, my marriage is almost over. Yeah, I'd be over too if I was married to you, you bum. You don't want to hear that. Oh, Pastor, I'll tell you, nobody likes me. I said, I know why nobody likes you. You don't like yourself. I don't like you either. Boy, ain't y'all glad y'all don't get a hold of me during those days. Pastor, you don't ever go through that old bull. You know it's bad when my wife tells my secretary he don't counsel nobody this week. Yeah, baby. What does that mean? That means I hadn't been out on my Harley in a few days. It means a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months. It means that I've had enough. Everybody, listen to me closely. Everybody has your breaking point. Everybody, at some point in time, you got to go, nope. Now, you can't do that with your children when they live in your house. You can't do that with your spouse when they live in your house. Come on. So sometimes you just got to do it with other people. Because if anybody's going to hear living words in your life, ought to be your children and ought to be your wife. It don't have to be everybody else. Your first responsibility is to your family. Your first responsibility is to your wife and then your children. This was several years ago. I knew it was bad when my wife called Becky, my secretary, and said, he don't counsel nobody this week. And I said, why'd you do that? She goes, because nobody needs what you spewing out. May your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth. And then my children looked at me and go, that's right, Daddy. That's when I knew I had to take a day off. I had to get out on my Harley. I didn't ask nobody to go with me. I wasn't fit for anybody to be with me. Come on, somebody. I just got to get off by myself and me and Jesus and me and God. And I got to pour out some things on him and let him pour some freshness and renewal on me. Glory to God. The next key to reviving dead bones in the dry valleys is not only to hear living words, but now to speak living words. It's one thing to hear them, and you need to hear them in order to speak them. I'm going to say that again. You need to hear them in order to speak them. Some of you can't speak them because you don't hear them. Well, I ain't got anything else to give out. Understand. Why? Because you ain't letting nobody speak in. Hallelujah. You need to let somebody speak into your life. That way you can turn around and speak living words. Ezekiel told the bones. He spoke to them and said, hear the word of the Lord. Begin to speak living words in your dryness. Declare life-affirming, life-giving words to your dryness. Speak hope, strength, and victory. That's what you need to speak to your dry bones. Hear the living words and speak living words. Here's what he said in Ezekiel 37:7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Whew. Now, he didn't feel nothing. He didn't feel the Holy Ghost on him. Let me tell you. No, he just said, I spoke what the Lord said, speak. My God. Do you believe that the words you hear has an effect on you? We pastored in Bluntstown. I came in from church one night, and my wife said, baby, you feel all right? I said, I feel fine. Why? She said, you look a little, what's that word, peaky? Peaked. You look a little peaked. Well, there's another word. Puny. Yeah, there's one more. Flush. That ain't the word I'm looking for. Pale. That's the word I'm looking for. My wife said, baby, you look a little pale. I go, well, I'm fine. She come over, check my head. She said, well, you sure look pale. I said, well, you know, now that you mention it, before God, before the night was over, she had me eating chicken noodle soup, had me a blanket around me, and said, oh, God, baby, I don't feel good at all. What's wrong with it? And I felt fine before she started speaking them cursed words over me. Now I have a habit, baby, you look pale. I said, shut up, woman. I rebuke it. Because you can speak, sometimes you just got to speak to the situation. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to get up and pray. You just get up and pray. Speak living words. He said, so I prophesied, and there was a noise. Now, the other two ain't as long as number one. Don't get nervous. Oh, Lord, I better kick it into high gear. So he said, I prophesied, and there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Maybe you felt the shake of tough times, health and financial attacks, and the noise of rattling of trouble, but hear me. It's time to hear living words, speak living words to dead bones in a dry valley. And the noise, the shaking, the rattling doesn't mean that things are coming apart. Things are actually coming together. My God, somebody hear me. You know, because we are trained to, as we hear stuff coming apart, we think that something's wrong, and most of the time it is. You know, I was riding my Harley yesterday. I told, I mean, that sounds like some rattling. I'll be seeing you here today, pretty sure, Bill. I said, I heard some rattling going on on my bike. And me and Gypsy was riding yesterday, and I said, I seem like I hear some rattling. But can I tell you that sometimes the rattling you hear is you speaking to those dry bones, and things are coming together, and you feel like they're about to blow apart. But they're not about to blow apart. You've been speaking life to them. You've been speaking living words to them. They've been hearing your word, and this about to come together. That's the rattling that you hear. It's time for a refreshing. It's time for a renewal. And today is your day. You're not going to live in a toxic valley full of dryness. You need to speak over your life that today is my day that I get over what I've been going through. Today's the day I'm going to speak over. I'm tired of being bitter. I'm tired of being upset. I'm tired of being full of anxiety. And I'm going to speak to my situation, and I'm going to give God praise, and the stuff that I hear, it is coming together, not falling apart, in the name of Jesus. It's time to detox. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, the word of God says. Let's get out of that valley of dryness. Number five, the valley of guilt and regret. My God, this is such a toxic valley to live in. Because if you live in that valley, you'll never get over what you've been through. Huh? I want you to hear this principle. I've been preaching it for years. It's just a very simple. You were not built for guilt. You were not built for guilt. Well, Pastor, I was guilty. Well, you're not built. You need to make it right and get over it. One valley that is incredibly toxic in your life and the future is guilt and regret. The enemy wants to riddle your life with guilt, riddle your life with regret, because it's such a toxic valley. Why? Because it imprisons you in the past that you can't enjoy today because of yesterday. And you're forfeiting what could be tomorrow because of what happened yesterday. Worried over what you've done, opportunities that you've missed, over times that you have failed miserably. Take stock, think about it, get over it. Times you have failed yourself, failed others, failed God. And this is almost the easiest valley to get caught in. Why? Because we all fail. That's why we want to teach you about broken focus. You know, I've been eating all my life. And I do it all the time, as often as I can. I love to eat. But as long as I don't know how long I've been feeding myself, but a long time. But as often as I eat and as many times as I eat, I still sometimes spill stuff. Remember? Now, I remember one time it used to fall in my lap. Now it comes around this area. Amen. I hate it. But you know it's right. Older you get, that table bumper just gets out there. And it just gets there. You drop stuff, it'd be on your pants. My pants ain't seen no staining, I couldn't tell you. Right here, baby, my shirts. But as long as I've been eating and feeding myself, I still stumble. As long as I've been walking, I still stumble every once in a while. So it's the easiest valley. And there's a valley in the Bible which is as old as the city of Jerusalem called the Valley of Hinnom. And Hinnom means lamentation, mourning, weeping, and sobbing. It was the valley of guilt. And so many of us get caught in that valley of guilt. This was the valley where Judas hung himself after being guilt-ridden over the betrayal of Christ. Christ would have and could have and would have forgiven him and even restored him, but he perished in the Hinnom Valley, a toxic valley of guilt. See, you got to understand that God will forgive you. You can't stay in the valley of guilt. You can't stay in the valley of regret. God will forgive you. What's the key? The asking him and truly being repentant of what it was that you failed. Amen. He will forgive. The Bible says that he is just and faithful to forgive those who ask. Christ could have and would have forgiven even old Judas. He had life and restoration available to him then and there, but he didn't ask for it. The redemptive, restorative work of the cross was being done right before him and begun right before his eyes. But guilt robbed him of his life right then and there. His destiny was lost in the valley of regret, in the valley of guilt. Listen to me, my God. If you never get over guilt and regret, you will never get beyond the situation. You will never get beyond the incident. You will never get beyond the failure. Listen, living in a toxic valley of guilt and regret will rob you of your victorious life now. And anytime you live in a toxic valley of guilt, you sacrifice your future. Nobody wants to do that. Listen. I know several folks up in this church who've been in jail. Yeah, I've been to jail too. Just to visit. But anyway, I got out in like an hour. But some of y'all wanted to get out in an hour and couldn't. So, I wasn't going to point you out, Josh. Come on, somebody. Hey, come, but let's just talk about it. Your worship leader has spent, I know, 9 months one time, about 2 years total in jail. Well, what if he lived in that regret? What if he lived in that guilt? I can't get up there and lead worship. I can't get up there and lead people. Well, that was BC, before Christ. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. He was a worship leader when he went to jail. How you like him now? Yeah. What are you saying? I'm saying it rains on the just and the unjust. And just because you're a child of God don't mean that you ain't stupid. But here's what I am saying. Even when you do stupid things as a child of God, the grace, the blood, the mercy of God is available to you. And if you will receive it, he will restore you and do greater things with you if you truly get over the regret and guilt. Get it under the blood. Listen. Hey, y'all, excuse me just a minute. Y'all just, yeah, glory. Chico, let me tell you something. I ain't been to jail, but if you look into my closets, I got some skeletons in my closet. But every bone on every skeleton has got some blood on it because it's covered under the blood of Jesus. What sin? Hey! Don't live in the toxic valley of Hinnom. The valley of Hinnom was also where the Jews fell into idolatry for a season and sacrificed their children to false gods. It's a place where they burned their children alive, and was such a terrible place in that time. Their children represented their future. And anytime you live there, you're going to sacrifice your future. Sacrifice your children. Why? Why ain't I going to live in regret? Because I don't want my children raised up and under my words words of death instead of words of life. See, you got to recognize, man, it's not just you. It's not just you. Your children are dependent. Well, they're resilient. Shut up. They are resilient, but my goodness, I'm going to give them a better chance. That I'm going to give them a chance at life where they ain't got to get over it. I don't want my children being in therapy all their life because of my stupidity. You need to understand it. You sacrificing your children. Listen, you sacrifice all that can be because of what was. Your past robs you of your future. Your sacrifice, your future. Every day you choose to live in a toxic valley. But I have good news for you. You can leave that valley today. Forget the past and move on. Jesus paid it all. When you confess your sin, Jesus forgives. The only one that can allow guilt to be tied to you is you. I want you to hear me. I need to stay right there, but I need to go on. There's some keys of escaping the valley of guilt. Are you ready? Number one, first, stop dwelling on the past. Stop dwelling on it. Stop telling everybody that comes by why you are the way you are. You ever met folks who all they want to do is tell you what everybody's done to them? I'll tell you what. Shut up. Lord, psst. Talk to the finger. You ain't worth the hand. Are you ready to do that? Now remember, your sin has been dealt with by Jesus and washed away. And if you're meditating on past sins and past failures, you are focused on what no longer exists in God's eyes. If it's truly under the blood, it no longer exists. He puts it, God, the Bible says he puts your sins into the sea of forgetfulness and puts up a no fishing sign. Stop focusing on the problem and begin to trust God for the solution. Micah 4:34 says, we have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and he will cast our sins into the bottom of the sea. Secondly, disassociate yourself from the past. Disassociate yourself. What do you mean? Stop living like you are what you did. My God, somebody hear me. Stop living like you are what you did. That's what disassociate yourself from the past. Well, people won't let me. Then get away from some people. Get away from some folks that won't let you live it down. And listen, well, Pastor, they're supposed to be Christians. Listen, people are people. Right? And here's the problem. God, I got to hit this. Here's the problem. When you sin and it is known throughout your church, there is a time of restoration. Right? So don't commit adultery and come back up here next Sunday and thinking, oh, I'm gonna teach Sunday school. No, you're not. Or don't think that you go to jail tomorrow and you're going to come back next Sunday wanting to lead worship. No, you're not. Now, only you and God knows whether you truly repented. But when it comes to people, there is a restorative process and time. Amen? So you got to understand that. But if you have done something years ago and folks still won't let you live it down, get away from those people, because all they're doing is speaking death over your life. Why do you think God made us all a new creation? because he did not intend for you to live in the valley of guilt and regret. You can deal with it. I am a new creation. Here's what he says in Psalms 103:3, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Begin to thank God that your past is over and praise God because your future is bright. Don't live one more day in that valley of guilt and regret. Now, let me hit this. I got one more. I'm gonna get them ready because I know I done went over. Let me hit this. If you've done wrong, go make it right when possible. I'm going to say that. Go make it right when possible. But not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to accept your apology. It ain't about them. It's about you. I can tell you, there have been so many people who have come and apologized to me for stuff they did, and I didn't even know they did what they did. Ain't about me. It's about them. Right? So if you have wronged someone or somebody, when possible, go make it right. Now, last valley. Number 6. The valley of indecision. The valley of indecision. Ooh, this valley drives me nuts. This is one of the most toxic valleys as it relates to the progress in your life. You got to make a decision. How long will you be torn between two decisions? It's the valley where you can't seem to make up your mind. I remember Jesse Duplantis said this one time, that he was talking to a woman about coming to know the Lord. She goes, "Well, I got a problem. I love the Holy Spirit and I love God, but I love sex." He said, "Then you need to get married." She goes, I don't want to get married." He said, "You got a real problem then." Right? The valley of indecision. You need to make a decision. Are you going to live for God or not? Let me tell you right now, if I'm not going to live for Jesus, I'm not going to come up in church and act like I'm going to. I might as well go live it up, do whatever I want to do that makes me feel good, because that's what sin is all about. What makes me feel good. Because I got news for you. Listen to me closely. Because this is the only heaven you will know if you ain't going to serve God. But man, if you serve Jesus, this is the only hell you will ever know. It's the valley where you can't make up your mind. It's the place where you're double-minded. You're not sure about what you believe. You feel one way one moment and another the next. You ever? I mean, I know a guy that every other week he's something else. Right now he's going through his Jewish stage. He got saved. He was Pentecostal. Then he said, "I'm charismatic." Then he said, "I'm Baptist." Then he said, "I'm Catholic." And then he said, "I'm Jewish." I mean, he done grew his little beard out, wearing a hat, you know. Make a decision. See, I don't put a denomination on me. I'm a Church of God ordained bishop in the Church of God. But that ain't what I am. What are you? I'm Christian. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. Call me whatever you want to call me. People ask me all the time, "Pastor, what is our church?" Well, I want the Pentecostal power with the charismatic praise, the Methodist knowledge, the Baptist grace, and the Catholic money. That's what I want. James 1 and 8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." But I believe in tithing. I don't believe in tithing. I believe... Get in the book and solidify what you believe. Let me tell you something. "Well, I'm saved." I'm not saved. I'm saved. I'm not saved. I'm saved. I don't even worry about being saved no more because I know I'm saved. I know I don't walk around wondering if I'm going to go to hell. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. unstable. Double-minded means wavering one minute, one day, the next. Unstable means restless, inconsistent, not living in stability. Can I tell you, church? So help me, I'm trying to quit. But one of the worst things you can do to your children is be on fire for God 1 month, take 2 months off, get back on fire for the Lord another 3 or 4 months, take 3 years off. There's a woman who's 30 years old right now. I saw her when she was 21, and she was raised in this church. Her mom and dad, if you're watching, you know who you are. Her mom and dad was raised in this church, or not raised, but her mom and dad came to this church, raised their 3 children in this church. And when she was about 16, her mom and dad decided, we don't need church. So they got out of church. And I seen her when she was 21, and she said, Pastor, you have no idea what it did to me, my psyche, that for 12 of my 15 years, we came to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, we were involved, and then all of a sudden, at the age of 15, my mom and dad said, church isn't important anymore. She's not a horrible person. She didn't go to church. They're out drinking, doing other things. What you do on a consistent basis affects your children. If you don't do it for yourself, do it for your children, for your grandchildren. Have some stability in your life. I want you to write this down. Indecision is a decision. Indecision is a decision. Because when you're indecisive, you have decided to be undecided. To live in indecision is to live in limbo rather than making a decision and going on. Joel 3:14 says this, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Decision, it means a sharp, pointed, deliberate choice. You and I must decide. It is toxic to live without a made-up mind. You got to have a made-up mind. It's time to move out of the valley of indecision and move into the valley of decision. All right, let me give you a couple of things real quickly. I'm done. Here are quick ways to make right decisions. Are you ready? Number one, my decision must line up with the Word of God and God's plan for my life. That's why we make so many stupid decisions, because we don't know the Word of God. Well, it feels good. Well, slapping you might feel good, but that ain't the Word of God. God will never lead you contrary. Are you listening? He'll never lead you contrary to His Word. You discover the unknown will of God by doing the known will of God. I'm going to say that again. You discover the unknown will of God by doing the will of God. Well, I'm waiting for God to show me. Do what you already know to do. Do what you know to do. Why should God show you what's next when you haven't done what He's already said? Number two, weigh out the consequences of the decision. Every decision has a consequence, has a rippling effect. Every decision has a consequence. Make sure the decision you lead or that you make leads to the outcome you desire. Number three, you ready? Take responsibility for your own life and your own choices. See, that's why we like the people to tell us what to do sometimes. When we don't know what to do, we want somebody to tell us, so that way we got somebody to blame if it doesn't work out. Take responsibility for your own life and your own choices. Don't put decision off. Pray, study the Word of God, seek God, weigh out the consequences and take responsibility, decide, and then do. Believe, and for good results, even in the long run. So what are these valleys? Real quickly. Number one, the valley of distraction. Number two, hit it again. Hit the, there you go. Valley of distraction. Number two, the valley of doubt and discouragement. Number three, the valley of heaviness. Number four, the valley of dryness. Number five, the valley of guilt and regret. And then number six, the valley of decision. Come on, stand to your feet. You've got to decide. Come on. Let's make a decision today. I'm not going to live in these valleys. It's not where God called me to live. The first decision you need to make is, if you don't know Jesus, asking Him to come into your life. I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you my word. I'm not going to ask you to come up front to get saved. Right where you are, if you don't know Jesus and you want to invite Him into your life, would you just lift up your hand? Anybody in this room, just lift up your hand. I see that hand. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? It's as simple as ABC. A, that you admit you're in need of a Savior. B, that you believe that He died on the cross for your sin. C, confess with your mouth, and according to Romans 10:9, you shall be saved. Anybody else in this building? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that You would come into our heart, forgive us of our sin, and cause us to be the son and daughters of the Lord. We believe that You died on the cross for us, and we confess with our mouth, and according to Your word, we shall be saved. Now, Lord, make all things new in our life. Create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us in the name of Jesus. And we give You the glory and the praise. Everybody look up here at me. I'm not going to ask you which valley you might be in today, but if you see a valley that you're in, come on, just lift up the hand. Hands all over this building. I want you to throw up the other hand and say, God, I'm coming out. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to do whatever needs to be done. I'm not going to live and I'm not going to die in this valley. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's give Him some praise on credit. Hey.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.